Praise God. Way to go, guys. Everybody say, I'm blessed. Look at the person beside you and say, you're blessed. You didn't say that as loud as you said, I'm blessed. Did y'all notice that? Huh? Y'all said, I'm blessed. And he said, yeah, you're blessed. Praise God. Well, I'm glad you're here with us today. Get your Bibles out. And if you would, go to the book of 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 2. Praise God. I'm excited to preach this message this morning. I was talking last week. I think I started it last week about sowing, learning to sow to the Spirit. You know, we got so much things in Christendom that, you know, we use all these catchphrases and all these things, but you know, the bottom line is if you don't know how to apply the Word of God to your life, you're not going to have any success. If it's all just a head knowledge or you know, it's not real to you, it's not heart knowledge, it's not something you can apply, it's not going to do you any good. Doesn't matter how good you know the Bible, how many scriptures you know, how long you've been in church, what your generational past was in church. If you don't know how to apply the Word of God to your life, you're not going to have success. Hello. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Because what happens to us is that we get head knowledge and not heart knowledge. And so this message is real simple. I'm just trying to teach you how to learn to sow to the Spirit. In other words, what are we going to do that's going to get the kingdom of God working in our lives? Amen. You got to understand, God has a kingdom set up. He has a principle and a way that works. Let's just say it this way. He has an accounting procedure that he works with. And when you get outside of that accounting procedure, it don't work. But it's called the kingdom of heaven. It's based upon faith in his word. Amen? And so I talked to you last week about learning to what the truth is. You got to have the truth in your life. You got to know what the Word of God is. You got to know what it says. You got to know what's yours. Folks, the devil will talk you out of it if you don't know it's yours. Hello? He'll talk you right out of it if you don't know it's yours. If you think it's yours, you think it might be yours. If your mama told you it was yours, but you don't have that truth established in you. You don't know the truth. And the second point was, is you don't have it established in you. That song they just sang, I'm blessed. Do you really believe you're blessed? And then the second question is, are you blessed? You can believe you're blessed, say, oh, I'm blessed, but then just be, you know, eating hamburger helper for the end of the week because you just stretched it out because you didn't have enough finances to live. Now, blessings are always on finances. But if you're tormented in your soul, you're not blessed. If you're worried all the time, you're not blessed. You're not walking in the blessings of God. Now, I'm just like you. Sometimes I get off and I forget and I let myself get over into areas of things that I shouldn't be in. You know, then I had to grab myself and say, what are you doing, stupid? Get out of there. So anyway, I don't want to go back over that because I've got to go to a new thing this morning so I can finish up. So, because I can feel myself just about to start all over the message again. So the third point, the first point was you got to know the truth. And the second point is you got to have it established in your life. You got to know that you know it's yours, okay? The third point of how you're going to sow righteousness in your life, I'm going to take from the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. It says, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, and whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteousness, deception among those who are perished, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusions, for which they should believe the lie, that they may be condemned who do not believe in the truth, and had pleasure in unrighteousness. Everybody say pleasure in unrighteousness. The third thing you have got to do, you've got to learn in life, that you've got to sow to, you've got to apply to your life, is you've got to love righteousness. You say, oh, well, yeah, I love righteousness. Really? Let's think about this for a minute. It says in here that there is a lawless spirit that's already been loosed on the land. Right? It's not made up by Robert Richards. I'm just preaching what the Word says there, right? There's a lawless spirit. Do you see where today, even more so than ever, that a person can do something wrong and everybody's like, oh, what do you mean? I mean, it's okay to do that. Y'all with me? We got everybody lying, cheating, and stealing, and yet they're like, well, wait a minute, that's a gray area. We've got things going on in the world that are adamantly opposed to what the Word of God says. And yet people say, well, listen, I'm sorry, you know, y'all can't be like that. You need to. And they go into Christians and try to talk Christians into compromising what the Word of God says in order to promote their agenda. Hello? There's a lawless spirit over the land. It's always been here. It's not new. It didn't just arise. It's always been here. But we see surges in it. Like just for instance, things that are on television today, there's things that are on just your normal programming that come on at just your normal times that used to be X-rated. And I'm like, sometimes I'm like, how did they get that over? How did they? Yeah, you know, it shocks me. But you know what? You keep getting a little of it, keep getting a little bit, then it dulls the senses of all the people, and then all of a sudden everybody's, it's acceptable. But even when I can see a huge difference, especially in television, from when I was a kid to now. And I guess if you're older than I am, you can even see a greater difference. Right? And so what happens is lawlessness roots in. Well, it happens to us too. We good Christian folk. Lawlessness is always working at you, trying to find your weakness, trying to find how it can get in. Maybe you just won't, you know, it's not that you told a lie, it's just that you didn't announce the truth. Okay? So let me read another scripture here. Hebrews chapter 1. Go to Hebrews chapter 1. I don't want to scare all of y'all this morning. It's a great message. It's going to get better. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 5. Now, the writer of Hebrews is speaking and quoting scriptures of what God the Father says about Jesus. Okay? Now listen. For to which the angels did he ever say, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. And again, I will be to him a father. And he shall be unto me a son. But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he says, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? But to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and you hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. It says that the scepter that's in Jesus' hand as King of Kings and Lord of Lords is a scepter of righteousness. Now, it's funny because, you know, we don't use the word scepter very much around here, you know? I mean, where do you have that in a common conversation? Oh, how's your scepter today? Little dull, but I was polishing my... Couldn't get to work on time this morning. I was polishing the scepter this morning because it got a little dull up on top or whatever, you know? You don't use that word. But, you know, if you go and you look up... It's funny, you just go to the dictionary and look up scepter. The first thing it's going to say is an ornamental rod, pole, something that represents authority. Ornamental. You need to take note of that word. It's ornamental. In other words, the king's just standing there with it. He isn't going to do anything with it, but he's just holding the stick in his hand. Right? Okay. I've taught y'all this and taught you this over the years that when you... The Bible is so alive and so amazing, and then written in the Greek language and written in Hebrew, it's so much more explicit than English. You know, English, language, you know, like in other words, the word love, we have one word, love, but the Greek language has four words for love. And so it's a lot more explicit. So I just happened to look up the word scepter in that deal, because in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, it's a scepter of righteousness. What does a scepter look like? Or what, you know, I'm digging to see if there's anything here. And I was shocked. Because the word scepter there in the Greek doesn't mean ornamental. Okay, it doesn't mean ornamental. It doesn't mean Jesus is standing there with a stick in his hand that says righteousness over the top of it. Or it's not a stick with a cross over it, saying, yeah, it's my scepter of righteousness. I want to show you literally what the word means. The word literally means a bat, a baton. The word gets divided up. It says, you take what scepter means, and it means a bat used for striking. And then you look at what the root of that word is, and it means not once, but several times. I'm serious. It means a waylaying bat of righteousness. It means he's going to beat you down with righteousness. It means evil rises up and righteousness comes in there like a bat and bam, 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 get down. Now that kind of differs from our little Christian belief of like, oh yes, we need to go to church and put on our good clothes and be nice and sweet. And oh, let's just pray for them. Praying's good. I like a bat. Something feels really good about a bat of righteousness. As I started reading this, it started just like the Lord was saying to me, yeah, look what it says. Can I change this around? Let's just read what it says. The last part there. It says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A bat of righteousness is the bat of your kingdom. You've loved righteousness. You hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness. In other words, he says he enjoyed doing it. Am I right? I'm not trying to misconstrue the scriptures here and get you off. I'm just telling you, Jesus carries a bat of righteousness. And when he comes upon lawlessness, he says he hates it. Hates it. And I looked up the word hate. You know what it means? Hates it. That was the one guy translated right. Hates it. I mean, he doesn't like it. He comes after lawlessness. You see, church, we can't have a Christianity that sits back and does nothing about lawlessness. We can't have a Christianity that stands in the shadows and says, we're just going to pray. We have to have a Christianity in our lives that literally, listen to me, literally is not a defensive weapon, but is an offensive weapon. Now, let's just put this into prayer. Yeah, you know, because you may be thinking about people. But listen to me. What about the sin that's in our own lives? What about the weaknesses and the sin that's in our own lives? Like I've said so many times, every Tuesday night, Bruce is there having the meeting for to be free from addictions. But you know, there's so many people that are addicted to so many things, but they won't go to the meeting because they don't want to look bad. I've literally heard people say, well, I didn't want to see my car. I didn't want anybody to drive by and see my car was over there. Listen to me. If I got a problem, I want to fix it. And the only way you're going to attack that problem in your life is you're going to have to get the bat of righteousness out and say, listen to me, you lawless thing in my life. I'm going to get free. You're not going to hold me in bondage. And you personally attack that in your life and drive it out. It's real easy to sit back and say, oh, Jesus, deliver me, please. And don't do anything about it. It's something totally different to take a stance in your life and say, I am not going to let that rule in my life. I'm going to drive it out with the bat of righteousness. And you know what happens? The oil of gladness comes. See what he's saying? When you drive out that lawlessness, then joy comes into your life. And you're like, wow, whoo, that is sweet. That is good. But if you never take that stance, if you just sit around, too many people are praying for God to deliver them, but not doing anything about it. Listen to me. I know. When I was first saved, one of the first things I had to do is get away from my friends. You know why? Because they were doing just like I used to do, and if I stayed by them, I was going to fall back in the same trap. So with a bat of righteousness, I drove out the lawlessness in my life. Hello. I didn't make excuses for the weaknesses of my life. I still don't today. I still have things I'm attacking with the bat of righteousness. Apathy. How many of you said, oh, that'd be a good thing. Yeah, that'd be fun to go do. Listen to me. You can want to go see the Grand Canyon. You can dream about the Grand Canyon. You can get pictures about the Grand Canyon. You can look at the Grand Canyon. You can get a map and figure out how you're going to get there. But you know what? You're never going to see it unless you get in a car or a plane or something and drive there and see it. You can talk about it all your life. Talk about how great it'd be. It's the same thing with the things in life. Oh, yeah, we ought to do something about that. But if you don't do something about it, it never gets done. Christians no longer can stand in this land and allow lawlessness to take place, and we say, well, we're just going to have to pray about that. We've got to take the bat. We've got to take a hard stance. We've got to take a very hard stance. Folks, listen to me. We're either Christians or we're not. We either believe the Bible is true or we don't. There's no compromise. There's no gray areas. Oh, I don't want to get into some kind of crazy hair-splitting doctrines of this and that and the other. But I'm telling you what, there's enough things that the Bible is 100% for or against that you don't have to worry about the little hair-splitting things. It's ridiculous to argue with any Christian about the little church dogma differences. But I'm telling you what the Word of God says is the truth, and we got to stand on it. Hello. That's why our world as we know it in the United States is so changing right now, is because no one will stand against lawlessness. No one will just stand up and say, stop that. That is wrong. Because either they're worried about who's going to vote for them in the next election, or they're worried about, you know, the finances coming in, or they're worried about this. And so, you know, it's like, have you ever talked to somebody, you know, and God bless them, I don't want to knock attorneys, but if you know, a lot of times you can talk to an attorney, and when you're through, you don't even know what happened and what was said. They can work their words around so much that you never got them pinned down to say anything. Right? If I go to a doctor and I'm sick, I won't even tell me, I don't want to say, well, you know, your chances are, you know, I just want to say, you're going to die. Are you going to make it? I mean, I don't want any patty caking around. I want to know the truth. Well, in the world right now, nobody wants to say that because they're all scared about the politics and this and that and the other, or what's going to happen in the backlash of this. And that. I would rather stand with the bat of righteousness in my hand saying, Jesus, I'm on your side. I'm ready to swing when you want me to swing. And I'm not worried about what's going to happen because I'm going to be happy no matter what because I'm on your side. I'm on your side. Y'all with me? I want joy. I want gladness. I want that peace that passes all understanding. And I'm sorry if I had to make somebody else uncomfortable. The only option is for them, get on board with me. Hello. Look at the person beside you and say, man, I like that bat. Feels good to stand up here. Should have waited and took up the offering now. Okay. So you've got to love righteousness. You have to hate evil. Listen to me. There's a scripture in Thessalonians that says that when Jesus comes back, he comes back with a shout. And the trumpet of the Lord shall blast, right? And then that other scripture right there in 2 Thessalonians I just read where it said that he's going to burn up the Antichrist with just the mere presence of his countenance. Okay, whose side do you want to be on? I mean, whose side do you want to be on? When my Jesus comes back, I don't know that this is really the way it's going to be, but I like it that he comes back with a shout. Okay? So I see Jesus like everything goes, hey! Gets everybody's attention. And then the trumpet blows, you know? Whatever the blow is. Some people say it's going to be a ram's horn, you know, the shofar. I don't know, maybe. But then he comes back, and just his mere presence, poof, the Antichrist, the biggest, baddest, toughest dude that's ever been on the face of the earth, got all the nations to wage war against Israel and everything else in the world and whooped up the biggest scheme he could scheme. Gone in an instant at the brightness of the countenance of the one in whom I believe in. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I'm glad I'm on his side. There's no question about it. I believe the scripture's true. I believe it's going to happen just like that. Hello? And I surely want to be on Jesus' side then. Amen? So what you've got to do to apply the scripture to your life and begin to sow into the Spirit is begin to ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, show me where in my life there's any lawlessness, where I'm departing from the truth of the Word of God. And then as he shows it to you, then get the bad righteousness out in your life and drive it from you. So how do I do that? Just do the opposite of what you want to do. It isn't too hard to figure out what it is and then just do the opposite. Hello? Okay. You say, well, but I need help. Go to Bruce. Get with some believers that are having the same problems you are and find out how they're fighting it, how they're defeating it, how they got victory. You know, the problem is some people just don't want to change. And that's the bottom line. I had a person this past week I was talking to, and addicted to alcohol. And I said, man, I know where you can go get free. Well, you know, I said, all right, stay bound. Number four, fourth thing you got to learn about sowing the Spirit. You know those what do they call those kids' toys? You know, where you've got a paddle that has the rubber band on it that has the ball on the end of it. That's it, paddle ball. It's no great name for this thing, paddle ball. Wow, that's unexciting. All right, a paddle ball. Yeah, the inventor of that one sure got it good. Yeah, it's called the paddle ball. Oh. Okay, anyway. Just like a paddle ball, it says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he'll reap. The fourth thing you have to learn about sowing to the Spirit is the law of reciprocity. When you hit that ball, that thing's coming back. You hit it, it's coming back. You sow junk, you sow anger, you sow hate, you sow wrath, you sow disappointment, you sow whatever, you're going to get it back. It's coming back. One of the dumbest things I ever did when I was a kid was my father, we had torn an inside wheel bearing had gone out in the tractor and we had replaced it. And when it, you know, there was all these perfectly round ball bearings that were in the old bearing and they were all over the place. So, man, I gathered them all up because, you know, I'm a smart kid. I got this stuff figured out because I had one of those wrist rockets. And so I was like, whew, man, am I going to be deadly with this thing, you know? And so one day I'm walking around the corner of the house, and we had this old, it was a smokehouse for smoking meat, and it was the dehennous tile blocks, the red dehennous, and the door was open to it, and I looked through that door, and there sat one of those little milk bottles. And I don't know, I was pretty good ways off, you know, I was from here to the front door of the church. And so I thought, you know, I bet I could hit it. So I reached in my pocket and I got that ball bearing out and I put that thing in that wrist rocket, pulled out an aim and turned it loose. And I looked, I didn't see that glass break, and I did like this. Next thing I know, wham! Boom, hit the ground. That ball bearing had gone and hit that block wall and came right straight back and hit me right in the top of the forehead. Knocked my feet out from under me. Goose egg comes up on the top of my head. Wonder it didn't kill me. Hit me in the eye. The law of reciprocity I learned about that day. When you send something out, it may be coming back at you. That's how it is. If we would learn this, listen, if we're going to learn to sow to the Spirit and get the kingdom of God in our lives, you've got to learn that what's coming out of your mouth, what your actions are, and what you're doing towards other people is only going to come back to you. It's only coming back to you. And no matter how much hate you sow, because it's a kingdom principle. Whatever a man sows, he's going to reap it. If you sow wheat, you're going to reap wheat. If you sow oats, you're going to reap. So husbands and wives, they never understand this. They always say, well, if he'd be nice to me, I'd be nice to him. But you've got a vicious cycle going on because you're speaking ill towards them. You're just going to get it back. You can't speak ugly towards something and expect nice to come back. It isn't going to work. And I've tried to talk in marriages about this and say, look, you got to shut up. Your own mouth is getting you in trouble. Tape that sucker shut when you go home. Until you can calm down or whatever you got to do, because you're just bickering at each other, and she bickers and he bickers and back and forth, and you've got that old paddle ball just going in your life. You've got that law of reciprocity just going out, come back, coming out, come back, coming out, come back. And you keep thinking, why doesn't it change? It can't change because you're making it happen. You're propelling it. You're just pouring more fuel in the jet. Remember that old saying everybody used to say, if you can't say something nice, don't say something anything at all, right? Well, there's a lot of truth to that. If you can't come up with anything good to say, at least be quiet. Listen, folks. A lot of times in my life, I notice that I get busy and I get caught up in thinking in myself, and I'm focused inward, and I'm just thinking about it, but I'm going about my day transacting business. And I started noticing that, you know, I'd say, man, that old, you know, that waitress or that clerk or that whatever, you know, sure is unfriendly, you cuss, you know. And then one day I got to thinking, you know, is it me? Am I just bringing it out of them? Like they're looking at me like they're just, you know, because I'm not anything. I'm not even thinking about them. I'm thinking about something else, and I'm just caught up myself, but my facial expressions or my body language may be projecting something else, but you know, they're feeling it. So I started changing, and I'd go in, and no matter where, I mean, I had to stop. Okay. And just walk into a place and say, hi, how you doing? And just watch how everybody's just like, fine, how are you? And just changed everything. And I was just sowing and reaping. I'm just reaping what I was sowing. It's no big deal. It wasn't their fault. It was just me. I just was in my head. I wasn't ugly. I wasn't whatever, you know. Nothing. People were assuming things about me that weren't true. I wasn't even thinking about them. I wasn't mad at anybody. Just in my head, in myself, thinking about what needed to be done or the work that needed to be done or whatever. Folks, listen to me. It's the law of reciprocity. It's going to come back at you. It's going to go out and it's going to come back. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. You don't think that's true? Just try what I was talking about. Just try walking in and smiling at somebody and saying, how you doing? And they may say, I'm terrible, having a terrible day. You say, oh, I'm sorry. Anything I can do to help? And watch how they'll change. It's going to happen in your marriage. Listen to me. If you're wrestling and fighting and bickering and going back and forth, somebody's got to shut up. Hello. Okay. So if you're going to have that in your life, that's what you've got to learn. If you're going to sow to the Spirit, learn what are you sowing you're going to reap. Okay? Put it in there. All right? Fifth thing. I'm going along fast here. Fifth thing. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 4 through 6. I love this proverb. It says, whoever is simple, let him turn in here. This is wisdom speaking. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, come and eat of my bread and drink of my wine, for I have of my wine I have mixed. Forsake foolishness and live, and go in the way of understanding. Folks, listen to me. If you're going to establish the kingdom of God on the inside of you, you have to forsake foolishness. Now you say, well, what do you mean foolishness? I'm not talking about laughing and pulling a practical joke on somebody. I'm not talking about stuff like that. I'm talking about everything that's a foolish behavior. Everything that you know is just going to get you in trouble. Everything that when you should keep your mouth shut, you don't. Everything that has to do with foolishness like it's of no profitability. It's not going to advance you in Jesus. Hello? All right? I don't know how much trouble I want to get into right here. A lot of foolishness comes from what you read. If you're going to forsake foolishness, listen to me. Forsaking foolishness, watching a soap opera, getting caught up in the lives of the people. Okay, I want to step one more step. I heard the other day, do you know what the most requested book in Gitmo is? You know Gitmo, where all the people, Gitmo. Do you know what the most requested book is in Gitmo? Think about it for a minute. You're a bomber terrorist in prison. You're of Middle Eastern descent. What would you think that person would want to read? Quran might make sense. Y'all ready for this? 50 Shades of Grey. If you don't know what that book is, never look at it or get it. I'll be honest with you, it's a demonic book full of nothing but lust. And if you read it, it's going to get on you. And it's going to want to turn you into a pervert. I said it straight as I could. It's foolishness. Absolute foolishness. In other words, folks, listen to me. Like, none of us, like, okay, y'all know, I'm a general contractor and I build homes. And one of the things that I fear the most about homes, building a home, is not the construction or the engineering or the pouring of the concrete. I don't like electricity. I don't like to touch it, don't like to mess with it. I don't know why. I've been bit a few times. To me, it's like a pit of snakes that I'm going to put my hand up close to, okay? So if anything goes wrong on the job that has anything to do with electric, I just call the electrician and say, y'all get in here and fix it. I ain't going to touch it. I don't care if it's just put one wire back in. He says, oh, that's silly. But I've been shocked a few times, and I just don't really like it. Okay? So you know what I do? I stay away from it. In life, the things that bite you, stay away from it. And if you go do it, it's foolishness. Folks, remember this lawless spirit that wants to get you? It's just looking for a trap to snag you. For some reason on my stupid computer, you know, they put this computer is stupid. I don't care what you say, man. You know how they put ads up, and somehow or another, I don't know how this all works with the cookies or whatever that, you know, what you sites you've gone to, and they throw ads at you to try to get you on this. For some reason, I keep getting up of eligible single girls in Utopia. I told my wife, I said, look, I ain't doing nothing. Look, why does this keep coming up? Click on it. Find the eligible single girls in Utopia. And I'm like, I know them all. What do I got to go to the computer for? Lord have mercy. Immediately in my mind sends off signals, bells, don't click on that. Are y'all with me? Have you ever got those stupid emails that come up, you know, and they say something and you're like, who sent me what? And they want you to click on it. And then once you clicked on it, you're sucked into their vortex of whatever it be. Folks, listen to me. We have to be sharper in life and don't get caught up in the foolish things of life. Are y'all with me? There's nothing wrong with having fun. There's nothing wrong with laughing with your friends. There's nothing wrong with all that kind of stuff. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the things that get you in bondage that make you need to go to Bruce's meeting. Hello. Are y'all with me? Okay. You got to forsake foolishness. Here, number 6. Second to the last one. Number 6. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. But what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. The sixth thing that you have to learn to do if you're going to walk in the Spirit and the things of the Spirit and sow into the kingdom is you have to learn to live to bless others. How many of you in here really enjoy when somebody says something negative about you? I don't think anybody does. How many of you in here enjoy, though, when somebody says something nice about you? I mean, it feels good to all of us. Oh, Ernie over there, one of the greatest cooks in the world. But if I went up there and ate some of his brisket and said, that stuff's terrible. It ain't going to make him feel too good. Hello? And I don't care how tough you are, words hurt. I don't care how tough you are. Words hurt. I had a person say something to me this past week, and I literally had to go pray about it all the way home. I had to pray about it and just say, Lord, I just remove that curse from me in Jesus' name, because that's a lie. That's a lie from the pit of hell that was spoken out, as far as I'm concerned, out of a demon's mouth, and I ain't going to receive it. It ain't going to get a part of my life. It ain't going to get in my mind. It isn't the truth. It ain't going to happen. You see, folks, there's a lot of stupid people out there in the world. They're eat up with it. And that's going to happen, but I determine in life, I want to live to bless others. I want to walk around the people that I work with and someone say, man, that's a great job. You did a great job. Wow, that really looks good. Because I know it makes them feel good. I want to live to bless others. All right? I want to live that let my speech bless them. I learned something a long time ago, and I've tried to apply it to my life, and that's simply this: never touch another man's ego. Never touch another man's ego. If you know, in other words, if I'm talking to somebody and I'm mad at them, I don't say, look, you little, you know, short, fat, ba-da-da-da. I don't touch their ego. You know, I may say to them, look, you're eat up with stupid and it's overflowing and you need to stop. But I didn't touch their ego. I didn't talk about who they are as a person. Human beings, we love for some reason to cut each other down. Ooh, looks like you've gained a little weight. Everything okay? Face looks kind of fat and puffy. Is that your real hair color? And women sometimes can be the worst. Are y'all with me? We got to be sensitive. If you want to really be sowing to the Spirit and advancing the kingdom of God in your life, you got to watch what comes out of your mouth towards other people. What you say to others. Live life. Live to bless others. Find something good. And say it about them. Because it will bless them. And it's sowing. It's going to come back to you also. All right? Now here's the last one. Number 7. Say it's the last one. Yeah. I want you to look at Luke chapter 6, verse 37. Ladies, while I'm getting this last one, can y'all go ahead and bring the communion down for me, please? Luke 6, 37 and 38. Judge not, you shall not be judged. Condemn not, you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measures, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. The 7th thing, there's many others. These are just 7 I picked out. If you want to learn to sow into the Spirit, you've got to learn to live to give. If you can learn to live to bless people and learn to live to give, listen to me. We all work hard for our money. We all work and sweat and labor for the dollars that we earn. But if you can ever learn this principle, all of those dollars are only put into your hand because Jesus wants to see what you're going to do with it. It's only put into your hand because Jesus wants to see what are you going to do with it. I have 2 things I always do in life. Number 1, I'm always looking for money. Last week I had 46 cents I picked up on the ground. Now see, I tell you all these things and then that makes it harder for me because y'all out grazing around the same area as I am. And I learned this principle a long time ago because I didn't have any money. And the scripture says, the Bible says, that God will give seed to the sower. And I said, Lord, I want to be a sower, but I got no money. Because if I sowed any money, then I didn't have any money left over for the house to feed my family. Because we were living on a really tight budget, like $7. So every penny mattered. And so I started praying. I said, Lord, okay, you said you'd supply seed to the sower, so I'm asking you to give me some seed to sow. And that's when I started looking down. I was looking on the ground. Man, there's a quarter. Oh, okay, got a quarter. Put it in my pocket. I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to sell this quarter. Because the law of reciprocity, remember? Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. So I started sowing a quarter. I was getting up to where sometimes I would find $5 or $6 a day. Out laying around on the ground. You said, that's crazy. I know it. But I was sowing and I was reaping. I was sowing and I was reaping. You sow a quarter and you get a 100-fold return. It's not a whole lot of money. But I start sowing and reaping. So I get some more. Man, I was getting more. Then I was given $5. You see, started working this process. To this day, I still look for the money. God's blessed me, and I have more money coming from different areas. I don't have to get it up off the ground, but it's still there. You look for money in ways that I would pray and say, God, I don't know how you're going to do this. I need a miracle. And I think you're gonna make something happen, and boom, it would come in, because I purposed within our heart, my wife and I, that we would live to be givers. That if anybody was going to come out short, I'd take the loss, but I wanted to be a giver. I wanted to be a blessing. I wanted to give. And God has so blessed us. He has so, so, so blessed us. I'm blessed in so many ways. So many great things in life because we chose to be givers. All right? Jesus said it. Given it shall be given to you. Good measures pressed down, shaken together and running over will men put it in your bosom. You see, I'm not asking you to start giving like, okay, this is, you know, I'm going to take up an offering now and I want you to give more money. No, I'm asking you, look at this. Look at what the scripture says. If Jesus said it, it's true. Put some faith in it. If you'll start to just set aside and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to test you in this. Because the Bible says in Malachi 3, test me in it. You watch what God will begin to do in your life. You see, what Living Waters Church really needs, what the Waterhole Ministries really needs, is for people who are radical enough to put this principle within their lives. Because I'm not asking for the money you've got, I'm just asking for all the opportunity to happen out there. That you just set aside and say, okay, Lord, this piece of property has been on our listing forever and we had never sold it. But I just thank you, man. We sell that piece of property, 50% is going to you. You watch how fast that sucker will sell. Because it's going to go back in there, but watch it. Watch it. Remember, it's the law of reciprocity. It's in your life. So if you get greedy, and you take it for yourself, you ate your seed. Nothing else is going to come back. There's a lot of things to learn in that. But you got to learn to live. Live to give. Live your life to live to give. Live to be a blessing for somebody else. I got so many stories that I could tell you about this that just take up the rest of all our time sitting here. But I want to tell you one. And this was told to me by a pastor in Mexico. And we'd stayed in his house that night. This is years ago. We stayed in his house at night, and he had really done some amazing things with absolutely nothing. And so I said to him, I said, What has inspired you? What is it that, you know, happened in your life that gave you this faith to, you know, build this church and do all you've done down here with literally nothing, and the people are just the poorest of the poor? And he said, well, I'll tell you. He said, my wife and I were kind of going through some hard times, and I went to church that Sunday, and the preacher was talking about tithing, and I didn't want to do it. And I was mad. And I was mad at the Lord for even asking me anything from me because my life was so hard. And so it was in pesos, but it was about equivalent to about a dollar in our, and that it was his 10%. And so when it came time to give it, he just went up there and he just kind of threw it in did like that in the offering bucket, just threw it in there. I said, man, kind of God cries me, takes my dollar, goes out like that, and is telling me, you know, all this stuff, and he's just mouthing. He said he's just mouthing, left church, just mouthing. He's, of course, they don't have a cars, and he's walking down the street, and he's just mouthing. And saying, God, I can't believe God is causing him to take all my money. And he said this wind blew up, like a little, you know, little dust devil, you know, blew up, and something just, bam, hit him in the face like that. And he's like, what? And he takes it off, and he looks at it, and it's a dollar. And he hears the Spirit of the Lord saying, just take your money back. Now, this guy told this is an absolute truth, okay? I believe it. But just think about that. Someone had to lose a dollar, right? Because God's not a counterfeiter. He don't make money. He had to lose a dollar. Somebody dropped a dollar out of their pocket, and it was laying there on the ground, and that guy had to be coming at that exact time for that dust devil to pick up and slap him in the face with his money back in order for God to pull it off. Now, that's our God. Slap you in the face and just take your old money back. And he says, after that, he said, I started giving. I learned to give. And he says, Everything you see, the church is paid for, all this is paid for, everything's been done. God has blessed us so, money's come in, and just God's made ways where there seems to be no way, and God always makes a way, and He always makes it done. So don't tell me our God can't do anything. Don't tell me that if we put our faith and trust in Him, that He won't bless us. Okay? Amen? Look at the person beside you and say, man, that's probably the best one Pastor ever preached. Well, praise Jesus. So, sow into the Spirit. We're going to have victory. Amen? So let's put your Bibles up and let's just, Lord, can you come play, please? Because we're going to serve communion here. And I hope I've challenged you in these last 2 weeks. I hope I've challenged you to look at some things in your life. And what I really believe needs to happen here this morning is you need to look at these things in your life and in your heart. But then when you come up here and receive communion, it's a real good time for you to commit it to Jesus. It's a real good time for you to stop and say, okay, Lord, I see this lawlessness in my life, or I see how I haven't been sowing, or Lord, you got to help me shut my mouth up, or whatever. This is the time right here at the altar to do that. It's called communion for a reason, because you're to commune with God. Right here, miracles are supposed to take place. And it takes place when your faith connects with what God's doing. Amen. So can I have my pastoral team and prayer team here this morning? Come on down. Let me serve y'all. While we get our hearts all prepared to just receive this morning. The Bible tells us on the night that Jesus was betrayed, He took bread and He blessed it and He broke it and He gave it to His disciples and He said, now take and eat, for this is my body which is broken for you. Do it in remembrance of me. You know, church, it's just a loaf of bread, but it's life to you. Bread's life. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And today, if you're brokenhearted, broken in spirit, well, I got good news for you. There's one whose body was broken on the cross for you so that you could have life. So, Lord, we thank you for this bread and for the life that you give us through your broken body. And afterwards, he took the cup and he said, this cup, it's a new covenant poured out in my blood. For you and for many, for the forgiveness of our sins. Drink it in remembrance of me. Church, this is not just grape juice in a cup. It's your sign and your seal of covenant. That if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart in Jesus, that He will wash away your sins and forgive you. No one should leave this building guilty. No one should leave this building lost today, not knowing for sure that if you died, you'd go to heaven. Because there's a new covenant offered right here. A new covenant. That He said that my blood poured out for you, if you believe in me, I'll forgive you of your sins. So Lord, we thank you for this blood. We thank you for it, Lord God, our covenant of forgiveness. In Jesus' mighty name.